Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. And we want to say, welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Water. Of Israel, and here with me today is our lovely Rib.
You gotta say that over again. I know it's the Day of Atonement, but You didn't have to say that over again.
Rare, Israel.
Our lovely Rib, your lovely Rib.
Your lovely Rib.
Your lovely Rib. Your sister. Christ.
Your sister in Christ.
No, I'm your lovely.
Oh, yeah, she's...
I'm not everybody's dream.
She's not everybody's dream.
No.
No, she's not community property.
Thank you.
Right.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, team.
Shabbat Shalom. Today is the ninth day of the seventh month, and today is the day that the Father called His fast. What do you mean? Well, we fast for the atonement, which is this evening, that the Father will have mercy on our sin. So, the thing is that we want to be able to just remind everybody, hey, you only got a few more hours left. We almost through it. We still, what we're dealing with today, we're not dealing with the atonement. We dealing with that later on this evening. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with the creation. You know, we're still in that creation. We're in the first day. We are winding up the first day. We are in the evening and the morning. What is the evening first and what is the morning? All right, so we're going to deal with the evening part first because that's mentioned. And then He separated the evening and the morning, so that's judgment. So we're going to be tapping into things that belong to the morning and things that belong to the evening. And these things, you're going to find out, it's a lot that goes on in the evening that God allowed to happen in the evening. And there's a lot that goes on in the morning that God allowed to happen in the morning. So we have to be conscious that there are laws that separate the evening and the morning. This is not light and darkness. This is not the separation of light and darkness. This is separation of evening and the morning. Amen? Because light and darkness is spiritual. That's way spiritual. Now we're dealing with the actual conversation of what is light and darkness. What is evening and morning? Now we're dealing with the physical property of that. Because He has to speak the physical property and first before, I mean, He had to speak the spiritual part in first before He spoke in the physical part, which is now what we're dealing with. So, if we can all stand and face Jerusalem, my brothers and sisters. Brothers, if you can cover your heads, if we approach the Father. And sisters, if you can, forgive me, brothers, if you can uncover our heads as we approach the Father. And sisters, if we can't cover our heads as we approach the Father, in Jesus' name.
Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment. So shall I keep the law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I have read Psalms 119, verses 41 through 48. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray, Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren in their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to proceed and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well and give them too a mind to proceed and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Amen. So, once again, I want to say welcome to another episode of The Sound of Living Waters. And we are dealing with the creation, and we are dealing with the first day, and we are about to wrap up the first day. Ah, oh, man, it's been fun dealing with this thing. I got to tell you, it's been intuitive. It's been definitely informative to me. People think, I know all these things and these things. No, sometimes the Holy Ghost start teaching, man. You learn on the fly. You know, and then you learn new things. You know, the Word of God is manifold. So, and it's ever evolving. So, you can say the Word of God is evolution because your mind constantly evolves every time you read it. So that's true evolution.
Okay.
It's not like any other book, because any other book you read it is just the same book, like Dungeons and Dragons or, Game of Thrones. It'll be the same book. No matter how many times you read it, it'll be the same book. But when you read the Bible, it evolves. It turns into something else, and then something else, and something else. That's real evolution. That's what evolution is. It's not a man becoming a monkey becoming a man, or a tadpole becoming a beast of the field, or anything like that. That's insanity. That's foolishness, childish, and completely immature when it comes to consciousness. But when we start dealing with things that belong to God, you see that those things, evolution is a real conversation.
Amen.
And that is what your mind become. And that is evolution. It grows. it changes, it evolves into something greater, the mind and spirit. That's why we look at our bodies, man, and we like, we think we can still do the same things we did when we were younger, but in some cases we can't because our bodies isn't the same, but our mind is still the same. It's still evolving. It's still going. And you're like, man, my body ain't keeping up with my mind, but that's the mind. Our body was created to keep up with our minds until sin entered in. That's the difference. But here's the thing. Let's get into this precept. Amen. Let's get into this precept. Let's start this in Genesis chapter 1, and we read to verse 5, as we always do when we get ready to start another section of the scriptures. We like to read the entire verse and give a light summary of the things that we have covered. Amen. So Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and read to the 5.
Amen. Genesis 1 and 1 reads, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth."
Stop. So we covered that in the beginning. What is the beginning? Nothing. So God created nothing. Makes sense to me. I'm okay with that. You okay with God creating nothing? You better be, because he did. I mean, nothing don't exist unless he created it.
Amen.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I put this question on Facebook, and people actually got mad, like, God didn't create nothing. What do you mean? We don't listen. We assume, but we don't listen. God did create nothing. In the beginning, God, and who? Of course, he introduced himself to us, right? I'm God, right? In the beginning, God, there goes him introducing himself, and we found out it was two in the Godhead, not three, not four, not five, just the Father and the Son through the scriptures. You can always go back. Those things are logged in the archives. And then we have heaven, and we found out what heaven was created from, and we found out the things that belong to heaven, and we found out the angels are created from heaven, and all the wonderful things that we enjoy, like gold and silver and all those precious stones that make us make things beautiful. And then we found out the earth is created from heaven, mm-hmm. and it has all those beautiful things inside of it as well, because it's created from the very thing that heaven is. And then we found out that it has a surface or skin crust and so forth, you know, mm-hmm. like and that thing. So we see that. So the earth is created eternally, right? So we cover those things, so you can always go and visit those things too, right? Verse 2.
Amen. Genesis 1 and 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters."
Stop. So we also covered the fact that the earth was without form and void. What do you mean? Because it didn't have any seasons, it didn't have any order. So what God gave the earth was order. He gave it commands. So now we have seasons. We have winter and summer. Amen. And then we have, you know, the of course things taking place with the commandments. And then we also have those things that said darkness is upon the face of the deep. So darkness is still there. You know, even though we also cover that part of darkness, not the darkness that we covered when he separated the darkness and the light, but there was a darkness that is light, that even in dark that is still light. Because he created the light from the darkness. Yes, he did. He created the light from the darkness. This is what man seems to not receive. And that is that if we can create darkness, then maybe we can create immortality. Because that's where it is. That's where immortality is. There. But we don't know how to create darkness. We can create light. But we cannot create darkness. And that's been separated from man and God, because God won't allow man to learn those things, not yet anyway. So, but I think even looking at the research in this thing called CERNs, and they're trying to create this machine that'll open up a black hole or something to an effect, like a portal, you know, and that's still not creating darkness. So you're still not going to get the immortality that you think you're going to get. And even so, they think that they can move the angels from one point to another, and the angels are under the bonds of God, so they can't break those things. So, but they think they can. Okay, well, let them try. All they're doing is putting holes here and there. So we covered that, and then we said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we looked at the waters. We talked about the waters that God covered the earth in was that water that we look at, this eternal water. The waters, water have life on it. The Spirit of God moved upon the water, so he gave water life, right? So, mm-hmm. And I mean, it, not just life, but eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the same water is in heaven, and that, and it said, and you saw a river, you know, waters flowing, you know, with the tree of life and things like that. And he said they can drink and eat from this tree forever. You know, why? Because it brings life. And also then we found out that the waters do bring life. What do you mean? That's where we come from. That's where the fish come from. That's where, you know, everything came from. Even the trees and the grass and everything come from water. So we found out that the water actually brings forth life. So you can also look at that in the archives. And then we also created, what's the next one? And we're talking about the face of the water, our people, peoples, you know. Mm-hmm. He referred to them as people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And God moves upon the people in his cloud.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, when people want to say the rainbow this and the rainbow that, and they want to take the rainbow from God, I'm like, no, no. They know what they're saying. They're saying, God, look at that rainbow and remember to have mercy. Mm-hmm. It's the reason why they chose the rainbow. Don't think they did. That was a fluke.
Amen.
You know, now the rainbow represents all the different nationalities. No, it don't. It represents the fact that they're asking for mercy before God because they got this monstrous sin that they are committing before him and they know it. The people that don't know God think that that's what they represent. Verse 3.
Genesis
1
and
3.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
And so we found out what light was, and that was the commandments, and that we covered those things. If you want to go back and look in the archives, you'll find those things out there, too. So we're not going back to revisit those things, just giving everybody an update what those things are, and that the God of Israel is very detailed. He laid a whole lot of groundwork before we got to here. You know what I mean? It was a lot of walk in this thing, man. I mean, I can't even remember when we even started at it, but I guess I can. All I got to do is go and look at the archives. But, again, and it says this, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. So light is, we found out light, what it is, the light he brought from the darkness, right?
Amen.
We found out that light is the law, right? We found out the light is consciousness. And then light is also where he called the light of man, where he also brings that every man have. Every man is born with this light.
Mm-hmm.
And so when death, the angel of death comes, he takes it from the body,
mm-hmm.
and he holds it until the judgment. Now, that's what people call a purgatory, and it's that and the other. No, it's not purgatory because you sleep. People will have you in purgatory walking around like, oh, I'm trapped in this limbo. No, you're not. You just sleep. That's what he calls sleep. And that's what Samuel said. He said, why have you disturbed me or awakened me? You know, I mean, like, you'd have done a lot of things, but this is really stupid, you know. And then he told him, by this time, you're going to be here with me, you know, tomorrow, you know. And Samuel was really dead. But he spoke from the dead because those things are, they're in the law that we can actually pull those things off. Why? How can we call death people that are dead from the dark? Because that's the light of God that's in us, that's eternal. So we can reach those things because they're there. We just got to know how. And it takes a person with a familiar spirit that could go back and forth. So that's that conversation. So they got to really have a devil,
mm-hmm.
right? Yes, they got to have a devil. They got to be, they got to have a devil. Like you got the Holy Ghost or brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I should say I have a Holy Ghost or brother. Y'all have wisdom. When they have wisdom and understanding, he said, wisdom crieth in the street. She is the wisdom. So y'all get the wisdom part. That's y'all form of the Holy Ghost, and we get the Holy Ghost. He's a masculine sort of thing. We covered that, too, in this. Also, go back and listen at that, too. And here we are, read verse 4.
Verse 4. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness.
And we also found out that what light is, and so we found out that the light was good, and that's the law, and those things that belong to it, and the consciousness of man. And then we talked about he separated the light from the darkness, which is the darkness of man and wickedness. And those things, and also the physical separation of light and darkness, which he separated the light from the dark, so we can see the dark in the light, or we can see the light through the dark, or we can see the dark in the light. And we can see either or, because they both are one and the same to God. And once he opened up your consciousness, you can see the dark. You know, and I always ask this question, and I ask it every now and again, you know, there's a man sitting in the dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's smiling. Mm-hmm. Is he smiling because he can see the dark, or is he smiling because he can see in the dark?
So,
you can't choose both.
Why not?
Because I said so.
But you can do both. Because he can see in the dark.
Then you can see the dark.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he opened up your understanding and when you can see in the dark. So when you can see in the dark, you're actually happy. Are you happy as he? You know, so that's that thing. So, you know, you ask that question, what is it? Of course you can see in the dark. Because he can see the dark. But if you can see in the dark, you can see the dark. So obviously the question is, and the answer is that you can see in the dark because you can see the dark. Exactly. But if you can see the dark, don't necessarily mean you can see in the dark. You can just see the dark like a cloud coming.
Right.
That's dark. Oh, wow, I can see it. But when it comes, can you see in it?
Right.
The answer is you can see in the dark. So it can't be both.
Okay.
All right, so he divided the light from the darkness, which is judgment. So he's called the light good, and the darkness he called night. And so this thing is going to find out what goes on in the evening, and those things are the dark. The things that take place in the dark, some of the things that take place in the dark. And that is to say those things that he called dark or evil. And he said because men love darkness more than the light because their deeds were evil. Right, so... if indeed you want to learn about those things, you can always go back and look at that precept as well. Yeah, that law. So you can go back and watch that too, or listen to it, we should say. And now here we are dealing with the evening and the morning or the first day. What is this, man? Yes, we're still dealing with judgment. Still dealing with judgment. But this is different because now it's physical. And then eventually, judgment takes place on the first day of the week. Mm-hmm. We don't get it. We think judgment don't take place on the first day of the week. It does, because the first day of the week comes after the seventh day.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that loud enough? The first day of the week comes after the seventh day, which just so happened to be the eighth day, and there we have it. So anywho, let's get into this. So read that 5 again. Read that 5.
Genesis 1 and 5 reads, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and evening and the morning were the first day.
Now I need you to go to your dictionary.com, right?
Yes, the dictionary.
Yeah, don't do the Google thing. You know, go to the dictionary.com and then pull up first evening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look up evening and see what it has to say.
Evening, the period of decreasing daylight between afternoon and night.
See, so we found out that the evening takes place in, as it starts going down, a period between the afternoon and night, right? So night is an evening.
The period of decreasing daylight between afternoon and night.
See, evening isn't night. So people will sit up and say, well, the feast day is when it gets dark. No, the evening is when the feast began. It's the period between afternoon and
night.
Why? Because first of all, the law is that there's light in darkness. That's the law. It has to take place there. So don't get night confused with evening, because evening isn't the night.
I see.
Continue.
2, the period between sunset or the evening meal and bedtime.
See, so it's the period between what?
Sunset. Our evening meal and bedtime.
Okay, so the sunset set at, say the sunset set at 6:41 today. Once the sunset hit, evening.
Wow.
That's when it's evening. You know, yeah, so what sunset is, you know, an old Egyptian term called set. You know, people want to sort of see, you don't use that word. You're supposed to say day and night. No, man, he said evening. And then we have this definition of when it takes place. It's right after sunset. Right after sunset, evening began. Not night, evening. Let's keep that in mind. Because Eve is the mother of all living. Mm-hmm. So she can be a part of the night.
So is that like the golden time of day?
No, that's between noon and evening.
Afternoon and night. So that's
right.
The golden time of day. You said between noon and evening.
Well, I would have to say, well, I guess so. That would be the golden time of the day. Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds about right. I just never gave that
before
a thought.
Before night.
Yeah.
After, isn't it? It's after the afternoon,
right?
And it's before the night.
Yeah, because every time I hear that, it's Frankie Beverly running through my head. And so when I think about that, and it's a part of the day that's really beautiful, but you don't equate it with evening, you're like, man, that's a real beautiful set. Mm-hmm. You know, but then,
before night.
So is it, you got it to me, the golden time of the day is a perception. I think it's a perception. I think it's a perception between who see it. Because, see, the golden time of the day could be sunrise for some people. And the golden time of the day could be high noon for some people. To me, the golden time of the day is like right before the sun and an evening take place, because the colors is phenomenal, you know, at that point. To me, it's almost as a sunrise.
Amen.
But not quite. To me, the evening sunset comes with way more colors than the sunrise do. For whatever reason, it just do. I guess that's the light coming from the darkness, and it's illuminating. But how? Yeah, I can say that, right? So, what else it says?
And then it says. So it says the period between sunset or the evening meal and bedtime. And then it says a later period or time.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. What else?
And
4.
And then 4 says chiefly southern U.S., the time from noon to twilight.
See, that's another conversation. What is twilight? You see, that's another thing. And Jacob did a precept, and it's on his wall, BCOG, when he dealt with the what is a time chart, a day chart. And he actually broke this down, you know, a day watch, an evening watch, an afternoon watch, and then he broke down morning, evening, and noon, and then the ninth hour. He broke all that down, you know. So that's that thing. So, and he also broke down twilight, which is a beautiful conversation. Skip down to 1. I mean, right there where it says evening, still dealing with that definition part.
Down to 1, it says the latter part of the day, especially from late afternoon into nightfall.
So God, no wonder he said the evening and the morning were the first day, because he was finished, right? So he was setting up the law that evening would take place after everything would be done. So he was setting it up then that, you know, some of us work in the night. Some of us work overnight. We call it third shift, whatever. But we're not supposed to. Our, we call it a superchiasmatic nuclei. That is a biological clock that every last one of us have. That is to say, a man, a woman, child, animal, bird, fish, you know, all of us had this clock. Insects had it, you know. Some insects don't come out in the daytime. They come out at night. And then some insects don't come out at night. They come out in the daytime. We all operate under this clock that is called superchiasmatic nuclei, which is the biological clock of all things. It's the biological clock of all things. And God gave us this clock, you know. And we want to say the earth is flat, but that clock come around every day. If it didn't, if the earth wasn't flat, then that clock would just continue, and we just keep going until we just pass out. Anyway, read on.
The latter are concluding periods, the early part of the night spent in a specific way, an entertainment, meeting, or reception held in the early part of the night. And then it says,
see, so now we see that it's a part of the night, but it's the early part of the evening. It's the early part of night. So it's official that the evening, the night has begun, but it's not dark. You see that? So that's what evening is. That's what the evening is. It's not dark. Some people keep the atonement, man. They wait until it gets jet black dark, and that's not the law. The law is that it begins just before it gets dark. And we're going to read that.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, that's good. That's good. Now look up morning.
M-O-R-N-I-N-G.
Yeah, not U-N.
Mm-hmm. Look, it says not to be confused with morning. Okay. So morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, says the first or early part of the day, lasting from midnight to noon, are from sunrise to noon. So the morning is just from midnight to noon, or from sunrise to noon.
Okay.
The dawn, the first of early part, the beginning, the first part of the day, ending at or around noon.
Mm-hmm.
Sunrise, daybreak, dawn. The beginning of an early period.
See, so it's the first part of the day ending around about noon. So that's the morning, right? Mm-hmm. So he's telling us that that's daybreak. The morning is daybreak. When you see the light hit the planet, that's daybreak. You officially hit the morning, okay? So that's what morning is. So when you read things, when God talk about the morning, he's talking about daybreak. When he used it in a metaphor, he's talking about the point when light actually hit your consciousness. That's daybreak,
mm-hmm.
You see. And that's light in a dark place. That's daybreak. That's when it happens, right? So that's that thing. Continue. What else it says?
Number four, the morning after informal, the after effects of access. Especially a hangover,
mm-hmm.
Modifier of used are occurring in the morning. So
yeah, skip down another part of that. Just read that 1, 2, and 3.
Right here.
Yeah.
The first period of the day, extending from dawn or from midnight to noon.
See, Jacob did a piece on that. He did dealt with dawn, and he showed what it was, and he went to an extent on that. And they said the first period of the day extending from dawn, mm-hmm. right? So dawn gives birth to the morning because it's the end of the night and it dawns toward the first day of the week. That's the law.
Amen.
In fact, let's look at that right quick. Go to John chapter 21:1. He wrote that in the law. So it's not like this is a fluke and, you know, this, these definitions, because he's speaking to us in English, so we have to understand that these things are there. 21 in verse, let me see, John 20:1.
Amen. John chapter 20, verse 1 reads, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark."
See? So we have that there, the first day of the week. So it was dawning, right? Now go to Matthew chapter 26. He had that conversation there too. No, it's Matthew chapter 28.
Matthew 28 reads, and you want me to read?
One.
Matthew 28 and verse 1 reads, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week."
You see that? So as it began to dawn means to begin or change over. That's what dawn. In fact, look up dawn, because people think dawn is morning and stuff like that. No, it's not. It's a transitional period. Dawn is the actual conversation of transition. You receive your read.
Amen. Dawn, the time each morning at which daylight first begins.
Uh-huh.
A first appearance, a beginning. It says to begin to become light in the morning, to begin to appear, develop, emerge, to begin to be to perceive or to be perceived or understood.
So we see that it has a physical and a spiritual attribute, right? So it also has something to do with, once again, the evening and the morning. So this conversation also takes place there. So when you read the scriptures and it tells you things that belong to dawn, you have to let these things start popping up, right? And the reason why we're speaking on these things is because it opens up your consciousness. It opens up your mind. And actually, what we get to do is plant seeds. So skip down to this section there in your dictionary and read this.
It's far right here.
Yeah.
It's far right here.
It should be right here. Yeah.
The first appearance of daylight in the morning, daybreak, sunrise, the beginning or rise of anything, advent, to begin to grow light in the morning, to begin to open.
Right.
Go back up.
Yeah, you went too far.
Okay, so number one says daybreak,
right.
Sunrise.
So there it is there.
The sky when light first appears in morning.
But it isn't the morning yet. But you see the sun is coming. So when the sun is rising, you don't see the sun yet, but you see the light appears. That's that moment. That's called dawn.
Amen.
Continue.
Amen. To begin, I mean the beginning of something.
Something. So not only that, it's the beginning of the evening as well. Because you see, as it dawned towards the first day of the week, as it got dark.
Amen.
So you can see the darkness coming, but the evening hasn't set in yet.
Amen.
Continue.
Number four, to begin to grow light after the night. To begin to grow light after the night.
Uh-huh. That's after it's dark, and here it comes. Light shines in the darkness.
Okay. To begin to develop, appear, or expand. Usually fall by or on or upon. To begin to become apparent.
So now go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and 19. Like I said, it has this physical and then it has a spiritual attribute as well. So we have to take this into consideration when you start reading these conversations. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 19.
1 Peter 1 and 19.
Yes, ma'am.
1 Peter 1 and 19 reads, but with the precious...
2 Peter.
Okay.
Chapter 1 and 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and 19.
2 Peter 1:19 reads, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart."
So in other words, as the day star begins to develop, appear, and expand your heart. That's what he said.
"We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart." Amen.
To begin to develop and appear and expand the law.
Amen.
So he had to create that law there for conscious sake, because he did call light consciousness. But he had to give consciousness a door to come through. And that's between light and darkness. That would be dawn.
Amen. Between light and darkness.
That's the door.
Mm.
You see. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and read that verse 5 again.
Amen. Genesis chapter 1.
So he had to create the door between light and dark. Or light and dark, or night, or dark and light, you know, which is dawn, you know. So that can go either way. He can take your mind and make it dark. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's both.
Because
the people said, man, an evil spirit from God is covering him. They must have seen a darkness come. Who knew? 1 and 5.
Genesis 1 and 5. "And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day."
In verse 8,
"And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day."
And 13.
"And the evening and the morning were the third day."
And 23.
"And the evening and the morning were the fifth day."
And verse 19.
19.
Yeah.
"And the evening and the morning were the fourth day."
And 23.
"And the evening and the morning were the fifth day."
And 31.
"And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day."
So you see that all these doors is open to each and every day, right?
Okay.
And each and every day has something different in its properties. But now let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and 1. Genesis 2 and 1.
Genesis 2 and 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he had rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed..."
Whoa. Where the evening and the morning at? This is where people get that from, you know, where the Sabbath day start in the daytime, you know. You get a lot of Yahoos coming up with that. I hate to call them Yahoos, but it's way out there as far as like a banana doctrine, you know, because it doesn't make any sense. When he sat up there and he said, "I'm God and I change not," but he gave you six directives, and then he get to the seven and he changed. That's not true. In fact, we're going to let the law, we're going to let the priests dictate these things. In fact, let's go to Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 15. Nehemiah 13
and
15.
Nehemiah 13.
I mean, no, that's 8. Yeah, I'm way ahead of myself. Let's go to 8. No, that's right. That's right. 13, and let's pick it up at verse. I'm too far high. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. Pick it up at 15.
Nehemiah 13 and verse 15?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 15 reads, "In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath."
Stop. So this is what we just got to read in Genesis, that he blessed the seventh day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Nehemiah is like, he did like the Levites or Levites. He was like, he was no nonsense. Like, he was like Moses, but sergeant, you know. Yeah, he was a sergeant, like a drill army, you know, like a drill sergeant. He was like, Levites, get yourself together, get out of here, you know, one of them type of dudes, you know. He was no nonsense, period. Anyway, continue.
15. In those days saw I and Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses.
See, B set a field post to rest too on them, according to the law, right? 15.
As also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manners of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath.
Continue.
And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged.
Stop. I continue with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, when?
The nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day?
Mm-hmm. 18.
Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon the city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel for profaning the Sabbath.
That means we didn't even know the law. Even though we came out of captivity and we knew we had our papers of who we are, we didn't know the law. We didn't know how to keep it. Continue.
Verse 19. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath.
Began to what?
Began to be
dawn.
Dark.
Dawn.
Began to be dark before
dawn,
the Sabbath.
The sunset.
Mm-hmm.
As it began
it
to
came
dawn.
To pass when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath,
uh-huh.
I commanded that the gates should be shut.
So there it is. So the Sabbath day didn't come in until it got dark. In the evening and the morning were the seventh day. But they'll sit up there and try to use that Genesis chapter 2, even though they read this, and still try to say that that's not true. But that's doctrine, and that's pride. I would let that go. I would believe in the truth before I believe anything. And if I was wrong, then be wrong. You know, hey, I'd rather be right than living a lie.
Amen.
I'd rather be set straight than living a lie. Read that again.
Amen. Nehemiah 13 and 19 reads, and it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and should charge that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath.
Dawn toward the first day of the week, right?
And
right.
Some of my servants set eye at the gates, and there should no bird be brought in on the Sabbath day.
So he said at the gates, like, watch. He sat out there all night.
Amen.
Really? He sat out there all night to make sure that there wasn't going on.
Amen.
You ain't sneaking nothing in here. You ain't getting nothing in here. That was his job. He stayed out there all night.
Amen.
Read on. I mean, just pay attention to what you're reading. Read on.
Verse 20. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware logged without Jerusalem.
Lodged.
Thank you. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified
against them. Yeah, they thought someone was going to sell their stuff before. They said, we'll see them tomorrow. You know.
Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath.
See that?
I will lay hands
on you. He wasn't playing with them. He had zero tolerance for nonsense. That dude sat out there all night to make sure there wasn't nothing going on. And he said, why y'all keep coming back here? You come back here again, we're gonna do you. It's going to be the end of your story. And then we're going to take your stuff on the first day of the week. You won't be able to sell nothing. You just gave it to us. He said, I'm going to lay hands on you. Don't come back here again. So don't be giving me this holier-than-thou prayer. Now, you know, that priest has got to be full of, you know, like, oh, you know, you got to be compassionate and this, that, and other. Yeah, it's a time for everything.
We'll talk about that later. Amen.
It's a time for everything. It's a season for everything. Solomon says a season, and there's a season for the priest to be ready to get at these dudes for polluting the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6. Exodus 12 and 6.
This chapter 12 and verse 6 reads, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
Kill what? The Passover. Kill the Passover in the evening. Okay. Keep it up until the 14th day, and you kill it in the evening. You know, so we want to act like we don't know what an evening is. That's what an evening is. We just found out what an evening is, the transition of a day to another.
Mm-hmm.
Before it get dark. Let's look at this a little further. Leviticus chapter 23 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get in a house and you just get all your stuff in and you're in there before it get dark, you're in a good place. Or, you know. You're in a good place.
Amen to that.
Leviticus 23 and 1. When you receive a read.
Leviticus 23 and 1 reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord,
uh-huh.
which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts.
Continue.
6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings.
We saw that when the Sabbath come in, because Nehemiah said, if you come in on the Sabbath day, we was going to lay hands on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quick learn. That's a quick study. Look, if you slow, if you're not exactly getting it, you got that.
Right.
Read on.
Amen. Verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons.
Seasons also represent morning and evening,
mm-hmm.
or evening and morning, same thing. Those are seasons, right? Continue.
And the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover.
Uh-huh.
And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord.
Didn't mean that daytime, it meant that same evening. The next evening was the 15th day. Like this evening, right, we keep the ninth day. We fast on the ninth day. Like, here's the Passover on the 14th day. And then on the 10th day is the atonement. Like, here on the 15th day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. People would have you to think that the ninth day and the 10th day is one and the same. That's not possible. How can the evening be the ninth day and the 10th day? But for years, we were doing that. Like some of us still doing it now. Yeah, we kept the atonement the other day. And you were fasting on the atonement. When you're supposed to be feasting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're breaking a fast. It was a feast. You're hungry. You can really eat then.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to be a feast day. Yeah, you know, hey, we did it. We made it through. And some of us, you know, who didn't, well, that's between them and God. But, you know. Hey, may God have mercy, even though they didn't have the strength to make it through, right?
Amen.
But this is how we know that the feast days are what they are, and this is how we maintain those things, right? Skip down to 26.
Leviticus 23 and 26 reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement."
That's the Sabbath day. That on the 10th day is the day of atonement. That's when he atoned for you, right? On the 10th day. Read on.
"Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you."
That's when you had a holy convocation. Continue. "On the 10th day.
And ye shall afflict your souls."
Mm-hmm.
"And offer an offering made by fire unto
the..." Because he said it here, that's when they say it's supposed to take place on the 10th day, and that's not true. He give you the window when you're supposed to do it. Continue.
28. "And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God."
You can work and fast. That's why he said wash your face. Continue.
"For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people."
Continue.
"And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people."
Continue.
"Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings."
Continue.
32. "And it shall be unto you a Sabbath day of rest, and ye shall afflict yours in the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening unto evening
Stop.
Shall you celebrate your Sabbath."
See, on the 9th day, you afflict your soul. The 10th day is the atonement. So you fast to be atoned for. You fast to be atoned for. You fast to be atoned for. You fast on the 9th day, not the 10th day. You fast on the 9th day so God will receive you on the 10th day.
And no working on the 10th day.
No.
Just be still.
Man, no working on the 10th day. You're supposed to no work.
And you still fasting for someone.
On the 9th day.
Mm-hmm. The 9th day is from evening.
It's an evening, like you said, evening and the evening. And then on the 10th day is the feast. Why? What do you do after you fast?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you. Who else is going to ask right?
You have a feast.
Uh-huh. You eat.
Yeah.
You eat.
Yeah.
You know, so that's that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what this is about. You fast from evening and evening.
Yes,
people
sir.
Be like scratching their head like, what do this mean? You're fasting, you know. Why would you not be fasting on the 10th day? Because you're not supposed to. He told you when to do it. Just because he put it down here, verse 32, don't mean he didn't mean that. He said, no, you fast on the 9th day for the 10th day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't see that, the day star hasn't dawned in your heart yet.
Mm-hmm.
You in the dark on that thing, so maybe he wants us, those that do, he wants us to be atoned for, and those that us he don't, okay. But I could have read this in reverse, and it'd say fast and that, and I could read it up, and it'd be a little more clearer. Oh, I can take these verses and switch them around, and it'll make sense. On the 9th day, such and such and such, da-da-da-da-da, and then on the 10th day, he's going to atone for you. But he didn't say it that way because God don't want, God is like this. He said, if the book was in chronological order, he would give it to you like that, but then everybody would get it. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, that Bible, this, that, and the other. No, it's not like this, that, and the other. You got to search the scriptures and think. Just because you search and think that you may have a life, it ain't guaranteed.
Amen.
That you may have. So you fast on the 9th day on to the 10th day. And then on the 10th day, you and your family have a feast and enjoy your God because, you know, you made it through the atonement. You fasted. Like, you know, you made it. You made it to the atonement. Now you can sit down and feast and have a good time, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you're eating on the 9th day, your atonement could be ruined. If you're drinking on the 9th day, your atonement could be ruined. And you don't want to. And then the one thing we don't want is that he mess around and kill us or we die before the next atonement. And we polluted the last atonement because we didn't take that atonement serious enough to not fast. Anywho, let's continue. But remember now, he said from evening to evening, right? So he said the. So we see here that he said the evening. When he said evening, he even brought in the laws on that day. He brought in the law in on that day. He brought in the sanctification of the days. He brought in the separation of days. He brought in the feast days on that. Everything is gauged from evening to evening.
Amen.
Let's look at this a little further. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 21 and 22. Here comes Jesus, right? Watch this. You always look at him as the Lamb of God, but guess what? This also points toward him. 22, and go ahead.
Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 22 reads, "And if a man hath committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree."
See, that's what didn't happen with Jesus. When they found out that he was dead, they took him down. Because the law is that once they die, that evening you're supposed to take them down and put them in the ground. You're not supposed to leave them there that they can rot and decay. And then here come diseases and all that old type of stuff. You know, that's what people did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what Dracula did. He's a real person. Dracula is a real individual. What he did was that people would come to his country and try to take him out. He had an army. They was pretty tight, so they would catch them and put them on a stake while they was alive and peel them on a stake, like through this, you know, through the cavity at the bottom of their bodies or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you would say, what is that area between your rectum and your butt and your testicles? He would place them on that.
Mm-hmm.
They would stick the pole in them,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then erect the pole up and let their body slowly slither down that pole until the weight of their body stabbed and kill themselves.
Oh,
and when he lined up the whole road to his palace with bodies like that, that when the people came down through there, they turned around and ran because they were like, I ain't having none of that, you know. But that's when they start. This when the myth of Dracula came up, you know, that he was a bloodsucker and all this sort of type of stuff, and a vampire, da 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 da, and that you had to kill him with a stake and this that, and the other. No, this dude was a real dude. He was a real, but he was a
what?
He was psychotic. Mm-hmm. He was fiendish and genius, because it worked. He was fiendish, he was psychotic, and a genius, because it worked. But here's that conversation here. He said it's a law that a man's body cannot remain on a tree all day. It has to be removed. And when evening came, when he created the law, for the evening, that if you died and they hung you on a tree, you had to come down.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be buried before the night came in. That's the law of the. That's one of the laws of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we look at the evening and the morning as the first day. We just look at the day, but a lot came with that. It wasn't just that. We seen that, you know, consciousness came in with that. Now we see that you got certain laws that came in with that, like feast days and Sabbath days. And then we see now this here is also in that conversation when evening come in, that a body can remain on a tree. Read that again, 23.
Deuteronomy 21 and 23.
Read. Well, read 22 and read into that again, and we're going to move around.
Deuteronomy 21 and 22. "And if any man hath committed a sin worthy of death, and he be.
We ain't saying that Jesus did that, because Pilate said this man had done nothing wrong, you know, but they said crucify him anyway, right? So he did it, but he said, no, I wash my hands of this matter. So Pilate separated himself from the people concerning those things, right? Okay. We're not saying Jesus is crooked. No. We're saying that the two dudes that was there, they did something that was worthy of death.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
And if a man hath committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, and that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord...
That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God
giveth thee for an inheritance.
So America is definitely cursed.
Yes. Wow. Well.
Joshua chapter 10 and 23.
Wow.
Joshua 10 and 23.
Strange fruit hanging on the tree.
Yes, ma'am. Joshua 10, yeah, people don't, and you'd be looking at some of the afflictions of some of these people on this planet and in this world, you'd be like, oh my God. So your father's in places they ain't had no place to be.
Mm.
Anyway, 22, what did I say, Joshua 10 and 23? Continue.
Joshua chapter
10.
22. And verse 22 reads, then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave.
Mm-hmm.
And they did so and brought forth
five. Remember now, this
represents
Jesus. Joshua, he represents Jesus, but this would be the beast and the false prophet. Continue. Now, remember now that people going to hide themselves in the cave and in the rocks and the mountains, right?
Yes.
Same conversation. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. This is the same conversation. Read.
Verse 23, and they did so and brought those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of men of war which went with him, come near. Put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to
enemies. You said be strong. So I mean, like, put your feet on their necks. Like, really do it. Don't play. Choke them out. Put your foot on their neck until they feel like they're about to die.
Oh,
like
George Floyd.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
He wasn't playing.
No.
He didn't.
Yeah.
With a smile on his face.
Yeah. That's what he said. But he said, do it with your feet, not your knee. You're going to need your knee later. But that's the same thing. Go ahead.
And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight.
Mm-hmm.
And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening.
Until when?
Until the evening.
See that? Mm-hmm. That was the law. So it's a law in the evening that when you hang somebody on a tree, you're supposed to bring them down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just an evening and a morning. There are laws that pertain to this. You know, we just want to blow through the creation like it ain't nothing to it, and you see that there's a whole lot more conversation that pertain to these things, right?
Yep, and you're just at verse 5.
Right. Okay, read that 7 again, that 27.
Joshua 10 and 27.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded and they took them.
At the going down of the sun. Remember, now we read that the evening is just before night.
Amen.
At sunset, at the going down of the sun or sunset. So he made sure that they was off the tree at the before the sun set, because that would have been sin.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
Amen. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remaineth unto this very day.
Okay, good. Now let's look at this a little further. Let's go into 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 16. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 16. When you receive it, read.
Amen. 1 Samuel 30, and you said 15?
Yes, ma'am.
And verse 15 reads, and David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wouldst neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had been brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines,
mm-hmm.
and out of the land of Judah. 17.
Continue.
And David smote them from the twilight evening unto the evening of the next day.
Wait a minute. He went in at night. He went in just before it got dark. And he killed them all night and day. That was a slaughter. That was a flat-out slaughter. And we want to act like, you know, oh, wow. Oh, man, I can't believe God did that. Oh, my goodness, you know. Your God is so cruel. Yeah, well, you better be careful with those things. If you feel like that, then know that he will get at you like that.
Amen.
He said, man, until the going down of the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at that a little further. He said twilight of the evening, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the going down. Did we look up the word twilight yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
No, let me make sure. I think we did. Let me just double check. We have dawn, morning, evening. No, we didn't look up twilight.
Look up twilight. Because Jacob looked up twilight. It's the twilight. Remember that? That was, what was that singing group, Twilight? It was Manhattan Transfer. They killed that song. Don't listen to it now. I mean, y'all can listen to it whenever you feel that's between you and God, but that's just called it Twilight. Manhattan Transfer, they smoked that song.
Okay.
Yes, they did.
Okay. There you go, twilight.
Mm-hmm.
The diffused light from the sky during the early evening or early morning when the sun is below the horizon.
So they came in just before it got dark, so they were stealth. And they went in. They were stealth.
And its light is refracted by the earth's atmosphere. Okay, the second one says the time of day when the sun is just below the horizon, especially the period between sunset and dark. Number two says dim or diffused illumination. And three, a period or condition of decline following growth, glory, or success.
Okay, well, then that's a great thing. Let's look at that a little further then. So we got, now we know when David took that thing out then, okay? Just after it got dark. Let's look at this a little further. Let's look at Job chapter 4 and 19. This is something else that God imputed in this conversation that we are not paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Job chapter 4 and 19, when you receive it, read.
Job chapter 4 and verse 19 reads, how much less than them that dwell in the houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth.
Mm-hmm.
They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it.
See, he said death is going to take place from evening to evening. He had to write that in the law that if man sinned, that death was going to take place from evening to through evening. He had to write that in the law. So it's there. It's mm-hmm. there. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's look at this a little further. Let's look what else is in there. Let's go into Psalms 55 and verse 16. 55 and 16. When you receive it, read.
And then Psalm 55 and 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice.
So what else he called to be in the evening? Amen. He wrote in the law that man will be praying from the evening to the evening. And that's something, I mean, I'm really guilty of, because I pray in the daytime when I should be praying in the evening, you know.
Amen.
But I try to make it a habit not to leave my home without praying. Mm-hmm. But I don't make it a habit to pray when I get home,
mm-hmm.
when I should be.
Yeah, we used to all the time. We used to pray before leaving.
We used to, just that.
Yeah. I mean, doing it both. We used to pray in the morning, and we used to pray when you came back home.
I wonder why all that got destroyed.
And then you said, and then after we prayed, you said, now let's go wash the world off of us. Yeah, every day.
I wonder when did that stop.
I don't know. I just know that we were doing that. You were exactly right. We prayed with each other before we walked out the door. And then when you got home, or I got home, we prayed together when we got home. And you say, now let's go in there and wash the world off. Amen.
All right, makes sense to me. Need to get back to that. Like I said, need to get back to that.
Amen.
So that's something else that he put in the evening, right? He put that in the prayer. He put that in the evening. He said that prayers would take place in the evening. I mean, not just, you know, that days would take place, but then he had laws about, you know, how to hang somebody on a tree. That death would take place from evening to evening, you know, and so forth. And wars would take place also, because David was there too. So wars would take place from evening to evening, right? Let's look at that a little further. Let's go into Psalm 65 and verse 8. Psalm 65 and verse 8, because, you know, people will have you to think, oh, that's just, you know, like Jerusalem, and that's here and that's there. No, that's not true. Jerusalem is the gate, ground zero, for the whole planet. But the law go forth from Jerusalem.
Okay.
All right. 65, verse 8, when you receive it, read.
Psalm 65 and 8 reads, they also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy token. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice.
See that? From the uttermost parts of the world, that even in the morning, that law is in effect. It ain't just for Jerusalem. It's in effect for the whole planet. Let's look at that a little further. Let's go into Psalms 104 and verse 104. Psalms 104 and verse 19.
Psalms 104 and 19.
Yes, ma'am.
He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down.
Mm-hmm.
Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth.
So here come the that superplasmatic nuclei. Mm-hmm. See, now they go to a biological clock, right? Mm-hmm. Why do they go forward? Because man left trash for them to pick up. Or there may be something decaying out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a man dropped dead. You got to get them. They got to eat them up, you know. Or maybe it's a beast out there they killed and they didn't eat all of it. Well, the critters got to come and finish it. You know, like I said, all of us is operating on this superplasmatic nuclei. We all operating on this clock that's set by what? Evening. Either we're working or we're going to bed. One of the two.
Amen.
Read on.
Okay, verse 21. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun arises, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their den. man goeth forth into his work and to his labor until the evening.
See that? That's in the law of the evening, that the beasts of the field will come out, do what they do, and then go back at the twilight of the day or the dawn of the morning, and then here come man doing his thing from morning to evening, and then he go in the evening because he know the beasts of the field is out there doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Read on. 24.
O Lord, how manifold are thy works, and wisdom hast thou made them all.
See that?
The earth is full of thy riches.
Ain't that something? How manifold is that work? He got us all doing things from evening to evening. You see that? He even got the beast of the field on his clock, on the same clock from evening to evening. You know, and the beast that we have that are domestic, they don't even get to work on the Sabbath day. Because he said they're supposed to rest too.
Amen.
Psalms 141. Psalms 141 and verse 2. Psalms 141 and verse 2. When you receive it, read.
Psalms 141.
Yes, Psalms 141 and verse 2.
And verse 2 reads, Let me pray. Amen, Holy Spirit. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
As the what?
Evening sacrifice.
So he had that written in his law that he was going to have an evening sacrifice for him.
Amen.
That man would pray to him in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the law. That's in the law when he said in the evening and the morning, in the evening and the morning, in the evening and the morning, he had that written in the evening that man would pray or reach out to him. So it's just more to it than just, you know, just an evening,
morning, morning, first day,
second day, third day, all that kind of madness. It's a whole lot of else going on.
Amen.
Daniel's chapter 9 and 21. Like I said, I got to get back to this. Daniel chapter 9 and 21. When you receive your reading.
Amen. Daniel 9 and 21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening oblation.
What? So he said that the angels are even going to be moving around during that time. He had a law written that the angels are going to operate at the evening oblation or the evening prayers.
Amen.
What do you mean? Go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5.
And what's that?
In verse
Revelation 5:8. Amen. Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints.
Which are what?
The prayers of saints.
See, there it is, the prayers of the saints. That's what he was talking about in that song that he had that written.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's look at this a little further. That's why he said he wanted his prayers to be heard. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. Matthew 14 and verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
When you receive it, read.
Matthew 14 and 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone.
See, even himself, he the one that gave the law, he practiced that. That's why I said I got to get back to this.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, I mean, you know, yeah. You see that?
Yeah.
So God had it written in his law that man would see come out in the evening.
Yeah.
You see that?
So then, what is that like? I wake up every morning just about 2:30, 3 o'clock, like sometimes 3 o'clock on the dot. I can't go back to sleep.
It's the middle of the night.
Yeah,
still nighttime, but I mean, you know, if you wake up and you have no reason to wake up, you know, then I would say, you know, I talk to God because he woke me up, and I ask God to have mercy on whoever I'm waking up to. I'm not finna go into a great big old spiel, and God have mercy on everybody. Obviously, he woke me up to pray for somebody today, like, you know. You don't know that. All you thanking him is that he woke you up for that hour. I mean, when he woke you up and you was generous enough to share your prayers on somebody else, you don't have to get off into all that other stuff.
Intercessory prayer.
Intercessory prayer is manifold, but that don't necessarily mean that's the reason why you wake up in the middle of the night. You might need to wake up in the middle of the night to pray for yourself.
Okay.
But since you up, you might as well pray for somebody if you ain't praying for yourself, you know. Or maybe it ain't in you to pray for somebody. I mean, it ain't it. You just wake up at that hour. It's your superplasmatic nuclei. That's just the way you function, you know. Maybe you're just used to going to work at that time or doing something at that hour. Who knows? Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 4. Yep.
Proverbs chapter 7.
And
thank
4.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 4 reads, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding.
See, this is God, he's saying, that it'll keep you from a whore or somebody that's wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight. In the evening, in the black and dark night.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
He started out, and it was about to get dark. About the time where he got to, it was dark, right? Read on.
And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot.
See,
and
so who be out there selling a thing out there at night? Hoes.
Okay.
Harlots. You can call them harlots if you want to. But they just hoes.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
She is loud and stubborn.
That's what a hoe is. She's loud and she's stubborn. She's not going to listen. That's how you know when you're dealing with a hoe. They may not be bitches, but they definitely hoe.
She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house.
Mm-hmm.
Now is she without, now in the street. And lieth in wait at every corner.
So now she ain't at home. She out there running the street.
So,
in the dark. What's she doing outside in the dark? Being a hoe.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
So she caught him and kissed him, and with an imputed face said unto him, I have peace offerings.
Oh, that's good. That's enough. But this is what could take place in the dark, too. He had this written in the law, that the wicked would be out there and that whores would be out there, and that she's a soul catcher.
Mm-hmm.
She's a devil. She's out there trying to catch people and kill them. Whatever, JJ. Skip down to verse 26.
Okay, I'm pushing this here because I accidentally put this in the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we'll just do that. Okay, now go down to 27.
Yeah, 26.
Okay. 26. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her.
Uh-huh.
Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death.
See, that's why he calls simple. That's a simp. That's the real simp. Somebody that'll get up with a woman, and it talks about that she's actually married. So they try to make like the man that's married himself a damn with her, but the truth is, he's the simp for getting with her.
Uh-huh.
That's different. But anyway, all this takes place in dark. So he had that written in that, you know, that they do this in the dark. So that's in the law.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, no, not finally, but Acts chapter 28:23. Yeah, when you see it, this is something else that takes place. 28:23, when you receive it, read.
Acts chapter 28:23 reads, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the law of the prophets, from morning to evening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he had written in the law that people was going to be reading the gospel all day,
mm-hmm,
until the evening.
From morning to evening.
If we're not doing it, then it's not written.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and read verse 5. Genesis 1 and verse 5, when you receive the reading.
Genesis 1 and 5 reads, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day.
Okay, so now we know what the evening is, and we got an idea what the morning is, but what is the first day? That's the next question. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time,
yeah,
and we hope we edified someone. Amen. We hope we edified someone. So we want to thank the families around the world that's listening. Our family that's in Canada is shooting up. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
The family is really growing.
Mm-hmm.
And the family in Israel is really growing. The Philippines is shooting up. What is going on there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. It's going up in the Philippines. In the UK, it's actually up and down, but it's going, growing. Israel is definitely growing. And Canada is like, whoa, okay? You people are getting it done in Canada. I don't know what y'all doing, but y'all definitely spreading it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we want to thank our family that's in Brazil. Amen?
Amen.
We want to thank the family that's in Brazil that's listening. God bless you, and God be with you, and happy heavens, Papa. And our family that's in Ireland, God bless you. God bless your houses, and pass along to you, our family that's in the UK. God bless you. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you in your homes.
Amen.
And our family that's in France, God bless you. God bless. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you in your home.
Amen.
Our family that's in Germany, God bless you. God bless your homes, and happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. Amen.
Our family that's in Turkey, God bless you. God bless your homes and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Our family that's in Egypt, God bless you. God bless your homes and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And our family that's in Nigeria, God bless you. God bless your houses and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Our family that's in Ethiopia, God bless you. God bless your family,
yeah,
and your houses.
And Shabbat Shalom.
My family that's in Kenya, God bless you. God bless your houses. And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And our family that's in Uganda, God bless you. God bless your families and your homes, your houses. And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And our family that's in Russia, God bless you. God bless your houses, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Our family that's in China, God bless you, God bless your houses, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Our family that's in South Korea, God bless you, God bless your houses, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Our family that's in Japan, God bless you, God bless your houses, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Our family that's in India, God bless you, God bless your houses, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Our family that's in Myanmar, God bless you, God bless your families, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Our family that's in Vietnam, God bless you, God bless your families, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat
Shalom. Our family that's in Indonesia, God bless you, God bless your families, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Our family that's in the Philippines, God bless you, God bless your families, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And our family that's in Indonesia, God bless you, God bless your families, Shabbat Shalom. And our family that's in Japan, God bless you, God bless your families, and Shabbat Shalom. And our family that's in Australia, God bless you, God bless your families, and Shabbat Shalom. And our family that's in New Zealand, God bless you, and God bless your family, Shabbat Shalom. And our family that's in Israel, God bless you, God bless your families, and Shabbat Shalom. And I hope everyone is having a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful feast.
Mm-hmm.
And start looking forward to seeing us live sooner than later. Amen. Keep up with the program. We will start televising our Sounds of Living Waters very, very shortly. And God will make a way that we'll be able to interact with each other. He is working those things. Please stay tuned. God bless you. And we say to all our family, Shabbat Shalom. And, of course, our brother has his hand up.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom is like grace and peace. Grace and peace.
Grace and peace. Asha Shabbat. Grace and peace to the family, and grace and peace to those that are taking part of the Sounds of Living Waters in association with the Commonwealth of Israel. I'm Brother Keith. I want to say, first off, that was an excellent lesson that the Lord put on your heart, Brother Joe. And as always, Miss Rhea Celine, excellent reading. When you had mentioned something earlier, I couldn't consider it as coincidental. I was watching something similar to what you had mentioned earlier. So it was called Hell Thing, and it was like this vampire that had all these gifts or whatever and stuff, and then he had like something strange, like in his imagination it was like a bloodlust, and then I guess in real life when people kill people and stuff, it's like a form of blood guiltiness. So when you were mentioning about Dracula, I thought about who was in the book, in the Bible. And his name is Vlad the Impaler. Yeah. Vlad the Impaler. So he would put like over 500 people on the those stakes or whatever and leave them in the ground.
Right. Yeah, that's the conversation I was talking about in Transylvania. Right, exactly.
That's him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him. But you know what? I mean, I didn't want to get into that because what I said in a way I kind of felt was kind of irrelevant. But I see what it is also, what you aforementioned, though, too, that man was sacrificing the innocent and putting them on crosses throughout the generations, too, as well. So I really wouldn't want to get into all of that, just saying, though. But I do like what you mentioned, too, earlier, but, you know, about that thing about the, you know, about the morning and stuff and the evening and stuff, because I do I that song that Frankie Beverly and Maze, I like that one too, though. He say, what do you say? He say, after the morning after the night before, when all the fun is over. I can't remember the rest of the words, but anyway, though, but
but we were talking about the golden time of day. You don't know the golden time of the day.
Obviously, he doesn't. he just sang the one he knows. He was all into it. We're waiting in the bus and we'll be
golden time of the day.
He's singing after the morning after.
Everybody that's listening, go to YouTube and pull up Golden Time of the Day. You will not be – Frankie Beverly, Golden Time of the Day, you will not be disappointed. And trust, play that song while sitting at the beach, and you will understand why that song is totally what it means. It is the golden time of day. I don't care what time of the day it is, you're on the beach. If you get there, put that song on and let that man sing into your spirit.
Who is the person?
You don't want to sing Golden Time of the Day? Huh?
No, I don't know that song, but I'm a learner, though. Who says make that song? I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
I want to say that's Harry Belafonte sang it first, and then Wilson Pickett.
Wilson Pickett?
I think it was Wilson. Harry Belafonte made it. He sung it first. And then Wilson Pickett sung it after that. Yeah, deja vu. Have at it. Okay. Well, hey, man, now that we didn't did the that, reminisce. Well, look, later on, I'm going to be live, man. We're going to do the Atonement Precept live on Facebook. Those of us that's listening and that got Facebook, look for your family, Job Israel, Red Israel, Sounds of Living Waters on Facebook Live. Look for Facebook and subscribe so you can hear the precepts in the near future. Amen. And you won't be just looking, you'll be not just hearing us, but you'll be able to see us. Amen. So we're going to go start going Facebook and YouTube live as well. So be looking out for that. Sounds of Living Waters on Facebook live. Also on YouTube live. Amen. So subscribe. Amen. So with that being said, we want to thank everyone for their time. And we hope we edify someone. And as you say here at the Sounds of Living Waters,
read your life.
Read
your life.
Amen. Amen.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things breaking. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.